DW.
To explain how this shift in Chinese environmental policy came to be, as well as some of the obstacles that stand in the way of a cleaner, greener China, I recently spoke with environmental journalist and author Beth Gardner. In her book Choked, she profiles cities from Delhi to Berlin that are both dealing with and trying to clean up their dirty skies. She details how public health studies tell us that today, only 5% of people around the world breathe genuinely healthy air, and that one out of every 9 deaths is caused by air pollution. I asked Beth what pushed China to take a more serious interest in addressing its environmental problems like air pollution.
China has really reached a point in its history and in its development where the approach that it's used of, you know, very, very polluting, very, very heavy industries that they have sort of maxed out to grow their economy. And public awareness has really reached a point where people get this now and they are angry about it. And the Chinese government has started to respond. You know, obviously China is not a democracy. It's not like people can just vote out the government and get one that will take stricter environmental regulation more seriously. But nonetheless, I think what we've sort of seen over the last 6-8 years is that the Chinese government has perceived, particularly around air pollution, this rising public anger on social media, sometimes even in the streets, and they've started to take some steps to actually deal with it. But the other thing that we know about the Chinese government is that there's a real zigzag quality to their policies. And over the last couple of years, particularly as the concerns, economic concerns about a recessionary impact from the trade war with the United States have started to hit, that China's been, you know, putting more money into stimulus now and ramping up these really polluting industries again because they're nervous about their growth slowing. So it's a real mixed picture in China. But, you know, we have seen there that when the government sets its mind to it, they have been able to bring real improvements to air quality.
And what did you see in terms of people on the ground, how they were feeling about environmental improvements? Were they optimistic or did they think it was just for show? What was kind of the feeling among regular citizens in China?
You know, it's one of the places in the world, I think, famously, where you do walk on the street and see people wearing pollution masks. And I think there's also been another important venue for sort of sharing concerns and for talking about pollution has been social media. That has actually played a really important role in sort of prodding the government to kind of deal with this problem. But it's also a place where we have seen public concern about pollution sort of butt up against this really serious crackdown on free expression under President Xi. And, you know, China has a very, very extensive and sophisticated internet censorship operation. So, you know, the lines there are always moving and there's sort of questions about what you're allowed to say and what you're allowed to talk about.
I guess when it's something that is literally visible, like air pollution, it's a bit more difficult for the government to deny that it's happening.
Yeah, although interestingly, China has actually had an air pollution problem for many, many decades, but it's really only been in the last 10 or so years that it's become something that was talked about and that people really understood. It used to get reported on the news or the weather as like, you know, it's really foggy today or there's bad weather. And it's only since sort of about 2010 or 2012 that people have really started to understand that actually this is not, you know, a natural phenomenon. This is air pollution.
And is that just from science making its way through social media to people? Or what do you think made that connection for people?
It started actually in many ways with a real uprising on social media, which in some ways came from an American influence. The U.S. Embassy was tweeting regularly readings from its own air pollution monitor that it kept on the roof of the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. And that was really intended for sort of Americans and other foreigners living in Beijing, because Chinese people can't access Twitter. It's blocked unless you have the ability to sort of, you know, use an overseas server, then you can access anything you want. But people were doing that with these online VPNs, and Chinese people started to see the American data coming out regularly from the U.S. Embassy Air Quality Monitor, and they could compare it to official Chinese pollution data. And when the American data, the American monitor was showing, you know, really bad air pollution, and the official Chinese government readings were saying, you know, the air is fine, no problem, people started posting it, and they were, you know, screenshotting and taking it off of Twitter and putting it onto Weibo and WeChat and comparing it sort of sometimes side by side with the official government data. And they could see that their government was lying to them. And that really gained a lot of traction. There were some big Chinese names, celebrities, and other people with a lot of following online who started to share this data. And people really started to understand that this was a serious problem and that their government was not being honest with them. Since then, the Chinese government has actually really responded to that. They have expanded their data collection, their air quality monitoring across the country. There's now official, you know, much more honest and realistic data that's available. And that, I think, also has helped to fuel the demand to actually do something about it.
That was Beth Gardner, author of Choked, The Age of Air Pollution and the Fight for a Cleaner Future.
DW.